It's Jean-Gabriel Pajot, and you're listening to the Sam's Call Out.
Every time I take a ride, I feel alive with nowhere to go. I'm the king of the road. You're the queen of my throne. Riding high, day and night, satisfied wherever we roam. You're the star of the show. You shimmer like gold. Now, baby, let's ride. We got nothing but time. You get all the reactions. You're the main attraction. It's no surprise. Gotta like your style. You're the perfect distraction. You're the main attraction.
From the Sens Call-Up studio in West Bell's Corners, welcome to Season 8, Episode Alfie of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, February 5th, 2020. I'm Cardinal Panikinucker here as well. Since we were last together, the Senators have continued to collect loser points far too often, resulting in the team slipping up the standings. Tank Nation is not happy, but post-trade deadline games may help us get back to the very bottom of the standings. Boys, in case you didn't hear, 13 trains running on the LRT today.
Lucky number 13. Pan, how was your weekend?
Shitty.
Figuratively or literally?
Yes. Food poisoning in the middle of my busiest. And I was really looking forward to catching up.
I believe.
And I'm sitting with my client at 3:30. She started at 3. It's like, I just got to go and check on something. I'll be right back.
Run!
It's like, oh, that was weird. Oh, well, I'm sure that passed. It did not pass.
Well, it passed all right. It just didn't conclude.
What my former GP would term gastrointestinal distress.
Okay. Closed a big deal after that. She came back Monday morning. I like what you told me. To remind me what you liked about our conversation.
I don't really remember. I was sweaty and feverish.
Well, good on you. We were planning on canceling.
Tell me what you liked about that.
We were planning on canceling being here tonight because we didn't want. We were worried you had something more serious than a bit of food poisoning.
Yeah,
we didn't want any of it.
But coronavirus.
Everything seems to be back to normal.
Yep. When do you leave for Vegas?
Tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
Yes.
Creeps on that this petty face to the last recorded syllable of time.
Jealous.
You were there early. You were there in September.
October.
Oh, even me. Okay.
I got news.
Yeah.
Next week, getting a new kitty.
Oh, yes.
Did I share that with you guys?
Yeah, you did.
You shared the picture. Yeah,
looks delicious.
Yeah, you kept wanting to put honey barbecue sauce on it.
He was going honey garlic. I said smoky barbecue was the flavor of choice. Sorry, Russell.
Question: why?
Why?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, granted, cats you can kind of leave, right?
What? Leave?
Well, you don't have to consistently watch them like a dog.
Oh, okay. Yes, they can leave them in a house all day.
Apparently, this cat you got to feed every day.
Whether they need it or not. Wow.
Or you have to have enough food.
No, I'm being silly. Oh. The old Simpsons reference, you know, a dog like that, you got to feed every day.
I've actually dog sat a dog that didn't eat every day.
Really?
There was food out for him. He just didn't eat. There were some days, I just don't feel like it.
Really?
Yep. And this is a very normal, he is an Alaskan Husky. And some days he just didn't eat. And, you know, day two comes along and he's still not eating. And I give him treats. He'd be like, oh, I like those. And I'd show him his food. He's like, eh, not interested. And then the next day, gone. Whole thing. Okay. Well, do you want some more? Pour some more in. He's like, no, I'm done. I'm good.
I might have been inspired by, what is he going by now? Senatorus Maximus. One of our listeners in Toronto, because he got a new kitten as well. Maybe he started the way.
So that's what motivated it for you?
Maybe subconsciously.
All you have to do is join the forums once in a while. Russell will send you a cat.
Well, I'm still waiting.
Because the penalty for everything is he sends you a cat. So,
how many does he have?
Six.
Oh.
For now.
Yeah, six.
Listen, I saw something from the Auto, I think they it was the Ottawa me. Humane Society that they caught, and they had a neat little, like, caught him poster for a cat that they caught and neutered and is up for adoption. Who, and it was like, so this guy's been walking around our neighborhood and has, from what our count is, 23 kittens.
Oh my.
It's like, no more. Fun time's over.
No more. Well, at least there's no coyotes in that neighborhood if he's been wandering around it for a while. And like, well, out here.
And just one really big one. What's new with you?
Very little, actually. I was up at the cottage last weekend. Didn't go ice fishing, which was a bummer. We went up snowmobiling out into the middle of nowhere and just stopped and relaxed for a little while in the beautiful quiet. And then somebody came by to make, somebody's coming down the trail, which is, it's a road in the summertime. In the winter, it's a groomed snowmobile trail. So it's wide enough for two pickup trucks to pass each other as long as they're going slowly. But for snowmobiles, you can just rip down there. We just stopped having a chat and enjoying being out in the great quiet. Another sled pulls up. Everything okay? Yep. Why are you guys here? Just taking a break.
Why are you here?
The guy's like, okay.
Spin it on him.
Off he goes. Always fun. So we didn't make it to ice fishing. And the next day, at the ice hut where I would have been fishing, a 14-pound pike was pulled out. That's about that size. For radio listeners.
For the radio listeners, it was this big.
I think it was...
This big?
I think it was 42 inches. So just over a meter. 14 pounds. And then three others. There you go. Yeah, so we didn't go fishing, but maybe in... not this weekend, but next weekend. Because I have family day off, so I...
42 inches. It's 3.5 feet.
Yes.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was a pike?
Pike, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Not a muskie.
But that's...
It's a good-sized fish.
Yeah. How old does that have to be? 4 or 5?
Oh, I don't fish them very often, so I can't be sure, to be honest. But it's not a small fish. Now this,
it's like you survived that long without being an idiot to grab onto a hook.
This lake is actually right next to the Ottawa River, but it's not a big lake. It's only 500, 600 meters across, sort of, if you took a diameter of it. And in the deepest point, it's maybe 20 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that during the flooding last year, the piece of land between the Ottawa and this lake was actually underwater. I'm thinking this big fish got washed in at some point.
Wow.
There, just for reference. There you go.
Oh, Lord.
That's a big fish.
That's a big honking fish.
Do you know how to communicate with fish? You drop them a line.
Yeah, if you do that too much, they get hooked.
Both of you get out. I got this on my own.
That's why you have to be careful. We have to be careful. You have to lure them in.
You know, Batman would never fish with Robin because Robin kept eating the worms.
That's really bad. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Do you want to tackle another subject?
We just baited him on that.
Game on! Oh, no!
You're just trying to change the subject now. Appreciate that. No, just quick.
No, we're going back.
Quick housekeeping before we start. Podcast at SensCallUps is the email address. The forums are at SensCallUps.com, including the game threads. Sens Bingo, the hockey pool. And it was great to see longtime listener and contributor Kathy from California was in the forums last night for the Ducks thread. So it's great to hear from her. And the waiver wire is sponsored by Versature at 1-844-SCU-SENS. Congratulations to recent bingo winners. SensCat Senior, who had a bingo in two consecutive games, Russell, and some other guy had two more. That's me. Go ahead.
I especially like how with Kathy, 'cause 4 months now since the summer, because obviously she's a Ducks fan. She lives in Orange County, at least. And it's like, she's like, okay, maybe I'll plan to come down or come up to Ottawa for the game. It's like...
In February.
That's exactly how we replied.
Like, it is extremely cold in February.
Actually, this would have been the perfect.
And if it's not cold, it's snowing a lot.
Yeah, this would have been the
perfect. Yesterday was beautiful.
Yeah. It's been a pretty nice winter so far. Yeah.
But it was like during the day, bright and sunny and warm.
Yeah.
Well, mild.
Warm for winter. Comparatively.
Fair enough.
But it would have been a perfect day for Winterlude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Downtown. Like just walking around downtown in the market, and you don't even have to skate on the canal. You can walk on the canal.
And it's getting cold now, so the ice will refirm up for this coming weekend.
Yep. Yeah, like obviously if you don't know how to skate for California and whatnot, and just enjoy the day. And it was just perfect weather. The game was garbage, but it was perfect otherwise.
It's all right.
So
before we start, tonight's episode is brought to you by Mill Street Cobblestone Nitro Stout, Big Rig, which one is that?
Gold.
Big Rig Gold. And most importantly, Jose Cuervo Sparkling Margaritas. I surprised the other two lads with a...
Not
couple
bad.
Of these this evening. They're actually quite tasty.
Not
I
bad.
Love margaritas.
All right, sorry. Over to you.
So, tank battle. Devils at Sens. Oh, no. Oh, no!
Good recovery.
Yeah.
That sounded bad.
It's a nitro, really? That's why.
Oh.
Boom! The delay on it. So, Devils at Sens, sort of 4-3 shootout loss. Shots in this game, 53-38 for the Devils with Hogberg in.
53. That is some porous defense right there. Porous.
So you would think that we should just outright lose in this case.
One loser point.
Yep. Sens goals, Ennis, Nemesnikov, and Tierney. Devils goals, Severdsen, I think. I can't read my own writing. Grooney and Palmieri.
Severdsen?
I think so.
Severed is, what? Never mind. There's surgery for that.
Oh, I can't remember the Bible verse of that one. But anyways. What,
King Solomon cutting the baby into?
No. We're the one that's to sacrifice his son.
Abraham and Isaac?
That's Isaac, yeah.
Yeah. That's my joke.
That's the joke.
Yeah. Moving on.
Sens at Sabres. I'm like, shrews. That's not a team.
Shrews?
Sens at Sabres. 5-2 win.
Slugs.
Slugs, yes.
Why are we winning and these games?
Well, this was a game that we all heard the call in from Dwayne.
What was that? Viral this was the game that this, it was.
Yeah, because they lost to the horrible Senators. So 5-2 win. Sens goals, Pageau, Ennis, Riley, Borvievsky, and Zaitsev on the empty net. Sabre goals, Reinhardt. And Eichel, who got his 29th goal. That's impressive.
So 29 out of how many total for the team?
Oh, I don't
know. I'll look it up. That's pretty amazing.
But yeah, like they're a bad team, and everyone was like, oh, he's a bust, he's a bust, he's a bust.
And he's carrying the team.
He's good. Like, just because you're not first overall doesn't mean that. Marco Rossi got jetted up to like fifth overall in the.
Yes.
I was like, damn. Like, I want him.
Well, I'm pretty sure teams already know about him. He was pretty good in the OHL last year. He's astonishing this year.
He's small.
In the new NHL, you don't have to be that big.
True. And I think he can take hits too.
And Drake Batherson was drafted at 5'8" and now he's 6'3".
Yeah,
he grew 6 inches over one summer.
Because I keep saying it's like he's Mark Stone size. I'm like, Stone is just, he's big. Yeah. And I never thought that he was. So I think Ballison's, doing the same thing. What else about this game? So this is one where the Sabres fans just really went crazy. Which is good.
29 out of 151. Sorry. I managed to look up one number, but I forgot to pull the calculator.
19%.
One player.
Yeah. Wow. And probably doing it with no one, right?
I don't follow the Buffalo, so I have no idea who he's playing with at all.
I should just comment on them like national media does to Ottawa.
Yeah.
Next game, Caps at Sens, 5-3 straight out loss. Thank God we needed one of these. You really needed an all-out loss with no points earned.
Yeah. How many did Ovi get?
So he got two. Ooh. So Tierney, Shabbat, Anisimov, and...
Tierney, Shabbat, and Anisimov.
Can't pronounce his name.
That's the three.
It's okay. Oh, it's okay. Yes. I see what my notes for now. So, and Anisimov. Capsules, Oshi, Kuznetsov, Tubai, Ovi, passing Messier in total goals.
Yes.
Career goals at this point. And of course, the fans here gave him a
big cheer and a standing ovation for it, yeah.
And he greeted the crowd and everything else like this. He's unbelievable. 34 years old. Incredible. Sends at Leafs 2-1 OT loss. Either win it.
Oh, no!
Yeah, pretty much. Either win it.
Just
and beat the Leafs, and I'm fine with that.
Or lose outright.
Frig, that's what I have for having hopes and dreams. Sends goals, Borowiecki with a rifle. Leafs goals, Spezza, and then Marner got one in overtime. So this is another thing where Marner got, or they found him retying his laces while he was on the ice.
What?
Yep. So his skate came undone. So he's like, oh, crap. Put himself onside, dropped his gloves, tied his lace, went back home. And everyone's like, so selfish and blah, 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 blah. Should have just changed. He's out of the play. So this is the way that I'm thinking of it. And someone of his hockey sense caliber might be thinking of it. For me to go off and then for the guy that's replacing me to go on, get the momentum for skating and get into position, that will take longer than me to just stop and tie my skate.
Or conversely, if I drop my gloves and tie my skate, no one's paying attention to me because I'm out of the play.
I can sneak
and
back.
And the next time somebody notices me, it'll be one of my team members and I'm good to go.
Yeah. That's smart.
Very
too.
Stealthy. Very stealthy.
Yep. Nope. He's arrogant and selfish.
Whatever.
I can't be bothered. How does
that affect? It's exhausting. How does it affect Austin, Matthew?
Yeah, how does it affect Austin?
And you won't.
Yeah. And even at this, like, Kapanen got benched for or scratched for this game because he was late to practice.
Got to hold him accountable. Got to hold him accountable.
Got to hold him accountable. And then the media was just blasting him about his attitude and what this means to the team and all of this. What did the team do to Austin Matthews?
Oh, he's just a young lad. You know, it's a growing experience.
Bros will be bros.
Yeah. You know, it's got it.
But being late to a meeting, and granted, yes, it's been multiple times, but he's 20-something years old. Now, I'm not saying that's a fridge.
Okay.
Both were wrong.
One was more wrong than
one
the
was,
other.
Yeah.
And it was the one that got a lesser attention, treatment, whatever.
If you write a fraudulent check for $1,000 to make rent or murder someone, both of these are crimes.
Yes.
So they even out?
Yes. Yes.
Clearly. Clearly. Right.
Anyways, so that is just frustrating stuff. It's like, guys, you got to think.
No, I don't. I just have to react. I don't have to think. I have to react, and I have to get my reaction out on Twitter because that's important. I need people to react to me and follow me because it gives me attention.
And then after that, as mentioned, game of Ducks at Sens with a 3-2 shootout loss. Sens goals, Batherson and Anisimov with his 10th goal. Again, if you're hating on the Zach Smith trade,
not.
He would not get 10 goals, and you saved money.
I haven't heard too many people hating on the Zach Smith trade.
Some.
Well.
And just think it through. Zach Smith wouldn't score 10 goals. Is he going to cost you more?
As Russell would term it, Twitter is nothing but a cesspool of negativity. That's all it is.
Yeah. And that's
and the occasional
Donald Trump becomes president.
And the occasional funny bit from somebody, but that's about it.
Ducks goals.
He needs to follow emergency kittens. Or you had one job.
You had one job could be pretty funny. Yeah.
You had one job, pretty great.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
So, yeah, so those are the five games that we have. So, total opportunity for points, 10 points achieved, 5.
Mm,
dang it.
500 hockey.
Well, 500 hockey.
Last January was the Molson Cup. The Molson Cup winner for January was Marcus Hogberg, who went 1-1-5.
We got to send him down soon, man. This is unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Too many loser points. I'm with you on that. It's been I've been gnashing my teeth on
and
that.
And so,
Good for him, though.
Oh, for sure. I
had no confidence in him.
And, I mean, he's playing really, really well up here. And Gustafson has found his game in Belleville in the past 6 weeks. Decord is playing out of his mind.
D'accord.
He's more than just D'accord. He's
Joey the Great. Joey the Great.
He's doing, excuse me, doing very, they're, well, Belleville is 16 points clear of third. In their division.
That's going to be fun this spring,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So, you know, we have.
And they had an 8-game road.
A grueling, road trip. Like a terrible.
Like
terrible
you have to go to Manitoba. I hope they flew.
They were all over the place.
Bus ride to Manitoba.
Yeah, Manitoba and like New York State and just craziness.
And they lost
one. I think they won.
Yeah, they lost one out of those eight on the road for 2 weeks.
So for those that don't live in this area, if you got on a bus from Belleville, Ontario, and if you drove east in the country, you would get to Sydney, Nova Scotia, which is like the easternmost city that you can drive to, quicker than you would to get to Manitoba going west.
It's about from Belleville, I know from Ottawa to Winnipeg, it's just over 2,000 kilometers.
It's giving me flight options.
2,000 kilometers.
So how long would it take to walk?
It's basically the same distance from Ottawa to Winnipeg, Brandon, where they were playing.
Yeah, 2,132 kilometers.
So it's the same as distance as Ottawa to Iqaluit.
Yeah.
Or
Ottawa, because Ottawa Iqaluit is almost exactly the same distance as Ottawa Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, that's what I was going to look
at. Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I had to look that up because I have customers in Iqaluit that I deal with.
Yeah.
And trying to get things up.
Would you rather take a bus to Winnipeg or to Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah.
No.
Take a train or a plane. Thank you very much. Not a bus. Well, I spent two summers working up in that area of northwestern Ontario. I was within about 4 hours of Winnipeg. And I took the train on the way up and the way back on the one summer and the way up on the way on the second summer. But the train went on strike the day before I was coming home on the second summer. So I had to fly from Dryden, where I was living, home of Chris Pronger, Dryden, Thunder Bay, Toronto, Toronto, Ottawa. That was an adventure.
Wow.
Oh my God.
But taking the train up there is absolutely breathtaking.
It really is. It's almost to Cuba.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that sound? Is that yours now? It is yours.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm just hearing the cooling fan off something.
It's all good. It's not going to be picked up.
Can you just turn it off?
Sure.
Yeah, that'll work. Let's go with that. Yeah, we'll just turn on the tape player and put the cassette in. That'll work well. You wanted to talk, I'm pointing at Ben, to talk about White Without Stone. I think we did this before.
Oh, yeah, we did this before.
Okay, so we can skip that one. The All-Star Game. We haven't been together since the All-Star Game.
Nope.
Okay, so.
Thank God Duclair scored a hat trick. He looked for the pieces that I watched, he looked good.
I heard it was better this weekend compared to other All-Star games.
Such a good job.
But I got to admit, I turned it on the Friday night for the skills competition, and about 5 minutes into it, I'm like, I don't like this.
I was bored.
And then the game, I was like, I'm excited, the Atlantic Division, Brady Tkachuk, and I started watching it, about 5 minutes into it, I don't like this. Turned it off.
I think it's, you have to be there.
I wasn't.
You have to be there, and you have to be for the home team.
I was watching the skills competition, and I only saw a couple of them. Like the shooting out of the stands thing, cute gimmick. NHL, don't repeat this.
Yeah.
Do not repeat this. It was a cute gimmick that was completely pointless.
Now, if it was sponsored by Topgolf, that would have been brilliant.
Oh, yeah. That would be funny.
No, because that's promoting a different sport. The NHL won't do that. I could do it at a home run competition, get Spalding to do it for all I care. But
Here's the other thing I don't like. I think it's because the Canadian market, and of course now it's Sportsnet, former CBC, right, that is controlling the broadcast in Canada. They kind of know what it is, that this is just, you know, this is a leisurely sport. Don't take it seriously. So what do? They talk over the whole thing. They just do interviews and chatting. While the game's going on and while the skills contest going on, I can kind of understand that part. But it's like turning on your favorite movie and putting on the audio commentary of where the actor's like, oh, yeah, I remember in this scene we were looking at that. And that reminds me, remember we got those tacos? And that, and you're like, I'm trying to watch the movie here, guys. And you're talking about something else. They flip it over to NBC and it's...
They're promoting the game.
And they're like... Yeah. Ovechkin comes in over the line, takes a shot. Oh, just misses. Like they're calling the game.
Not that Ovechkin was
there. Sportsnet.
Yeah, that good, really good point about Ovechkin.
it's Sportsnet.
And it's just like,
yeah,
shut it's up.
Yeah, it's Sportsnet. That's really all you have to say
it's
about
it. It's not growing the game at all. But no, what I liked about...
It's not growing their bank account either.
No, true.
They're taking a haircut on that.
So
I'm loving it.
No, but what I... Because just... Understanding from where when we went to the All-Star game in town and how much it was about Ottawa.
Oh, yeah.
They did a tremendous job of promoting their current stars and the women.
Yep.
And their alumni.
Yeah, their alumni.
And they integrated all of it together. So if you're a new fan or an old fan, there's something about it for all of you.
I think they did a great job of doing that.
And the rest of it's all fluff.
Yeah, it just didn't affect me particularly much.
It's like, I don't like the division games. It's too long. Like, I don't care.
I don't care about that part. The things that affected me the most or that impressed me or stayed with me the most from it was A, Brady was there because Austin Matthews was injured, which I thought was interesting that they took not another Toronto Maple Leaf. I know that Marner
But Austin Matthews had a lot of airtime at that All-Star game.
Yes, he did. He
I think it was also that Brady was already in town.
Well, maybe because he was already there.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That works.
Because everybody else had plans, right?
The thing that really impressed me was that... Anthony Duclair was there. It was his first All-Star game ever. And he got a congratulations note from John Tortorella.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations. You made it to the All-Star. You've earned this. You know what? That gets a big gold star from me for John Tortorella for doing that.
Yep.
Big gold star.
And that's it's like, also tampering, so.
But good on him to do it. You know, this was a player that he didn't like get along with or anything else. But to turn around and say, you know what? You've earned this. You've really changed things around. You're going places. Well done.
And that said, though, because with Tortorella, is it that he didn't get along with him? Or was he just hard on him? Because he wasn't getting the... Because even Duclair said, like, no, he's a good coach.
Hard to say. I mean, could go either way. But I was very impressed with that.
And with all the investigations, and the league was just like, oh, here we go with Torts. And like, no, nothing.
No. He's a tough coach. He's not a... moron. At the AHL All-Star game, Josh Norris was supposed to go. He was hurt, couldn't go.
Yep, sick.
Alex Formanton went and set the third fastest ever time in the history of the AHL All-Star game. Third fastest skater ever.
Trade him.
Boy can skate. Well, we've seen him. We've seen him.
We can skate, yeah.
And he can't.
Well,
he can
said it for years. It's like he can skate, just wait for his hands to catch up.
He can skate like the wind. He make like, it's he, been, like young Mike Hoffman fast.
This is his third year?
Second. Because he spent an extra year in London.
Oh, right. But he didn't play the 9 games.
No.
Yeah, yeah. He played the 9 games and then they sent him back to London.
Last year?
Not last year. The year before. I think
it must have been last year.
Was it last?
No, sorry. Year before.
I think it was 2 years ago. But anyway,
keep it all straight.
But anyways, because I remember seeing like he's fast, but his hands don't know what they're doing yet.
They're getting there.
It's getting there. They're getting there. Good.
They're getting there.
And Batherson's really the only call up that's kind of looked like.
And he's looking like he's doing better because he's been working.
Yeah,
on his game.
Everyone else has been meh.
In a winning environment.
Everyone else has been meh.
He's been working on his game in a winning environment. He's been down there for ages. Yep. In other words, he's in a better place to hone his skills than to try and struggle up here.
Yep.
And that counts. It's a much easier, I don't want to say easier, it's a much better learning environment than one which is,
constant losses and constant struggles. Yeah. Two more things on Sen stuff. You want to talk about attendance numbers, so think about that for a second.
Okay. I think we can come back to that after.
Okay. Okay, then my last quick point would be Troy Mann was on the radio yesterday, might have been. I was listening, or it might have been last week. I can't remember. This is the coach for the Belleville Senators. And there was a game last week where the team was behind 4-1 into the back half of the third period.
That's never been come back from before.
That finale with 10 minutes and 27 seconds left.
We'll come back to that. We will come back to that.
Game seven.
But he said, my rule for pulling a goalie is 2 minutes per goal down. So never he'll pull a goalie with 6 minutes left if he needs three goals. And he was just about to do that when the team scored to make it 4-2. So he went, make it 4 minutes. And then the team scored again. And they actually ended up winning that game. But that's his rule. It's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? If you're down 4-1, pull your goalie with 6 minutes left. If you get one, great. If you don't, oh, well, it's not like we had a chance of winning it anyways.
Yep.
Well, it's an interesting rule.
Remember who started all that? For pulling the goalie at random long times?
Was that Corey Clouston?
No. God, no. Do you think he had any creativity in his...
Who am I thinking of?
It's Patrick Roy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would pull goalies just like eight. And he's a goalie, so he probably knew from his experience, like, I don't need to be in the net. Pull me now and tie it.
Yeah.
So he's the one that started it.
I would be opportunistic with it. I wouldn't just pull it for the sake of pulling it. I would wait until you have
lacrosse.
Yeah, wait until you have possession.
Oh, yeah.
Control possession.
Yeah.
And then go.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't
do
be
it like lacrosse does. Lacrosse does that.
He wouldn't be doing it with the clock. Like, 6 minutes, you got to get out of there. Oh, wait, it's a breakaway. Oh, well, you got to get on the bench now. Let's go. No, he wouldn't
Wouldn't do it on the face-off or something.
No.
Wait until very controlled possession. You feel it.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, now
when you're just, if your team is dominating the zone.
Yeah, do it then.
Do lacrosse just.
Yeah, it's a rule of thumb. It's not an ironclad.
Down by three, just give it a shot. It's. Could be the second period.
Yep.
Try to get one. If it goes to the empty net, well, fine.
Well, we weren't because
the other
game
team
anyways.
Might not have the people that they'd want on for a six. Well, especially if you're getting hemmed.
And you weren't winning the game anyway.
Do it on a 5-on-3 if you're down by a lot. Sometimes I don't know.
Yeah.
Be inventive.
Sure. We have another guest this week, which I'm very happy to hear. A longtime contributor to the show. This will be his 8th or 9th appearance on the show. For sharing his calm and reasonable and rational analysis from his perspective on the Ottawa Senators. We are happy to welcome Ian Mendez. We're happy to welcome back for the first time this year, Ian Mendez, host of the afternoon show The Drive on TSN 1200, noted celebrity and national treasure. Ian, thanks for taking time to join us once again. But before we start, I need to know how much you're going to charge us for tonight, because I saw you charge Stu $35 for a tweet today, and we have to make sure we have enough money in our beer fund.
See, that's the thing. Now I'm debating: am I a local celebrity or a national treasure? Right? So I gotta charge my rate. My rate accordingly. So I don't know. I'm thinking $250. Right? For this podcast, no?
We're gonna need more donators here.
Ian, with the trade deadline weeks away, there's a lot of talk around whether Pageau is gonna be signed or traded. What do you think?
Boy, it's really weird. I would say this on Pageau and I would say this on Borowiecki, because those are the two that I feel like I have the best read on. Is, boy, here we are, first week of February, and there's been a real absence of concrete, tangible contract negotiations with either one of them. So I don't know what to read. I mean, you would think that these would be somewhat easy deals to get done. And, you know, if you're Ottawa, these are deals you probably would have liked to have gotten done in training camp, right? The one thing I've learned is, for the most part, you don't often see contract extensions signed, at least super long-term extensions at this time of year. We've seen in the past Ottawa, they've gotten Mark Methot done just before a deadline. They got, I think, Zach Smith done before. So, I mean, the Pageau contract theoretically would probably fall within that realm of a 3-4 year deal. But with each day that passes, I become less optimistic that we're going to see a an extension. And I could be wrong. I mean, Shabbat signed kind of out of the blue. So sometimes these things happen completely in a vacuum without us knowing. But boy, oh boy, my sense is if you're asking me right now, first week of February, you have to guess, does he stay, does he go? I would have to vote that he goes.
Okay. And so if he goes, considering that Colin White and Logan Brown have been kind of meh in the NHL, what do you think that means for next year?
Boy, great question, right? You could win the lottery and get Alexis Lafreniere, who I know he's not a natural centerman, but by all accounts is going to be able to drive a line on his own. That would be great. Josh Norris is sitting there as a potential guy that could come in and play some big minutes down the road for you. And then you still have potentially Chris Tierney down the middle, Artem Anisimov. But boy, I don't know. I'm really torn on Pageau and what it means for the near future, because I just think you hit the nail on the head in that if you were to say, who are you most disappointed with this season in terms of, which prospects, if you're going to use the mantra, the kids are all right, what are the two prospects that have underwhelmed or disappointed you the most? I think most people would come back with the names Colin White and Logan Brown. And that's a scary prospect, because I think in an ideal world, if we had a glimpse at Pierre Dorion's, depth chart here down the road, I think those guys were 1 and 2. They were penciled in to be 1 and 2. And now I don't know where you penciled them in. So it brings up a great point that if they let Pageau go, do they have enough even just for next season if they want to take that next step? A lot of it might be predicated on where that roulette wheel ends up on lottery day. A lot of it could be predicated on what you do with some other guys. But yeah, I'd be a little bit nervous that if Pageau walks out the door and you don't know what you have in White and you don't know what you have in Brown, and to be honest, I don't know what you have in Joshua Norris either, that center ice position becomes awfully thin awfully quick.
Okay. Now, also with this, your colleagues have compared Colin White to Curtis Lazar, and that he's kind of trending towards that. Now, can you compare and contrast the two players?
Boy, are you speaking of colleagues that are blocking you on social media, Simmer, or who are you?
No, he unblocked me.
We've all been blocked by Simmer. Look, Ottawa has had a couple of prospects in the last few years that if you had the ability to have hindsight goggles, you'd handle them differently. Lazar would be on that list. I think Zibanejad would be on that list. To some extent, Jared Cowan might be on that list. The Colin White situation, I think everybody's situation is different. Like, there's some comparisons that you can make with him and Lazar, but I don't know if there's too many comparisons, because Lazar never got the extension, right? Lazar never got all of a sudden, boom, here, man, here's a 6-year contract extension. So to me, it completely moves the goalposts on the Colin White argument. Like, Colin White, they projected him out to be a top six forward on this team. Ideally, I think, as a top six centerman, second line centerman. But I think even if he had settled into a second line winger role and was productive, I don't think any of us would have any qualms with it. So I don't know what comparisons I can make other than I don't feel like Colin White was rushed into the NHL. The only question is, now this season, do you feel like it would have been beneficial to have him down in the American Hockey League? And it's okay. Like, I think if they had sent him down to the AHL, I don't think they should worry about, oh no, we look stupid or we're embarrassed, we signed this guy to a deal. You got to forget about that. Think about where you put him, where's best for this young man. He's struggling with his confidence. And you look at the AHL. I think Drake Batherson looks like a totally different player to me now than he did in October. Because I think he had time to go down and get his head on right and find his game and get some confidence, come back here. I wouldn't be opposed. I'm not going to have a knife out for these guys. If they send Colin White down to the AHL, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, what have you done? You made a mistake. No, I look at it the other way and say, yeah, maybe in the past, a guy like Lazar, you should have sent him down and you didn't. And on white, you know, don't be embarrassed. Just say, look, we're doing what's best for the young man, and we want him to come back in September. To me, everything is, what do we do to get Colin White in the best mind frame of mind for September, October of 2020? And I wouldn't be averse to setting him down and giving him 10 games down there and see what he can do offensively.
Putting a player in a winning environment. What a great concept. I love it. Yesterday, you were in the stands for the game, and there's been a lot of talk around in the national media as well as local media about poor attendance for these games recently. You've been around the team for quite some time. What do you think might be the main reasons for the drop, like major drop in attendance this year? And do you think there might be any ideas of what you could do, what the team should do to improve the attendance and possibly the in-game experience as well?
Yeah, and you know, it's certainly alarming. And last night, it's funny, the one time they got me on camera on TSN was literally, I was sitting, my whole family, my wife and my two daughters were around me, and they got up to go leave to go ride. My kids got picked to go ride on that Fanboni thing. So it looked like I was sitting by myself. I wasn't.
Of course.
But, you know, it's disheartening and it's discouraging when you get into a building and you see, 9,200 people was the announced attendance last night. So you think about that, we wouldn't even sell out the Civic Center right now with that number. And that it's disappointing. In terms of the reasons why, I think we know there's a myriad of reasons why. I think there's a lot of people that don't trust the direction of this franchise. I think there's a lot of people that feel like the trust has been broken. And I don't know if it's irreparable, but I think that there are some people who feel like, nah, I can't do this. I can't do this with the owner, or I can't do this with the direction of the team. And you got to be mindful of that. Like, I think in the past there was speculation. Do people trust the owner? Do they not? Do they trust the direction of the franchise? Do they not? Are they happy? Are they not? Well, now we have smoking gun evidence of unhappy people, right? Like, 9,200 people coming to a game is clear-cut evidence that there's a disconnect here. Now, I never think anything is irreparable. So I'm not going to be on the train of, well, they'll never fix it. No, I'm a believer in you can get things fixed. And Jim Little is going to come in as the CEO here, and he's got a massive job ahead of him. And, you know, priority number one is, how do we fix this disconnect? How do we fix whatever this is that we have with the people? Like, my whole point during the Melnick out campaign a couple of years ago, which Spencer Callahan was behind it. I tried to look at this as the people who hate your team the most with that type of passion are actually the ones who love it the most. And like, you guys heard that caller from Buffalo the other day, Dwayne?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who phoned it. Yeah, of course you did, because it went viral, because you're like, man, that guy's got passion and he's angry. I'm worried that we've lost the Dwaynes in Ottawa, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not hearing, as a guy that works in talk radio, I'm not hearing that same type of passion that I heard 18 months ago, 2 years ago, even, about, I'm really angry. And that's my concern. That's my fear, is that we've lost the Dwaynes of Ottawa, the people that are so angry, they'll phone up the radio station, and we've lost them, and that anger has evaporated into apathy. And that's my concern. And so I consider myself a stakeholder in this, because I cover this team and I want to see it thrive. I want to see, how do we reinvigorate people? How do we reengage people? How do we reignite people? It's a hard thing to do, man. Trust is one of the most precious commodities that you have as a sports organization. Once you mess with that, it's a long road back to recovery. And you can do it, but it's a long road back. And I think we can look at this and say, yeah, it's been tampered with. People feel like they don't have the trust, and they got to figure out how do they get the trust back. So that'll be job number one, two, and three for Jim Little.
Great. And now, and I don't know if you guys can measure it on the radio or just with your colleagues on TV, has your viewership or listenership dropped for the in-games at all?
You know what? That's actually a really good question. So I don't know. It's a really weird way that they measure radio ratings. It's not, you would think that they measure it in a very scientific way. They don't. It's very much based on surveys and different things. So I honestly don't know in terms of have we seen a significant dip in the ratings? I don't know even if from TSN on the TV side, has published their television numbers. Like, the one thing I would say, like, I still feel like there's lots of people listening to us on TSN 1200. Like, when I do the afternoon show, I absolutely positively think that there's lots of people listening. Like, today we have this contest to go see the Sens in California, and we have this little code word, and we got, within 5 minutes, we got 500 some odd texts. Wow. Coming in. Like, you know, and so people are there, people are listening. Now, whether or not people are listening to the games on the radio or watching the games on TV, I don't have the numbers, but I would imagine that there would be a similar type of, like, here's the thing. This is what I think as a viewer, okay? And I think sports is a great escape, and sports fans are looking for an immediate escape, and they're looking for immediacy. And I don't, my favorite team in the world is the Dallas Cowboys. People who know me know I love the Dallas Cowboys. I would have a hard time tuning into the Dallas Cowboys and be like, okay, man, in 2022, this is going to be fun. Like, we're going to be really good in 2022. Well, it would leave me with a little bit of a void in the here and the now as to why I should be emotionally engaged in the product. And so I think that's where we're at right now. I think it's been a really tumultuous, emotional 36 months in this marketplace. And maybe everyone just needs to go back to their corners, take a breath, and we'll come back in a year when there's a little bit more to be positive about it. The one thing I'll never do is I'll never lay any of the blame at the feet of the people in this market. And I really do feel like it's, you know, I'm a believer in the customer is never wrong, right? And this is business, and the customer usually is never wrong. So how do we get people back in, and how do you get people tuning in when you don't care? And in a weird way, like, you're watching the Ducks game yesterday, you're like, yeah, I kind of hope they lose. But, you know, it's an awkward time. It's a tough time, awkward time to be an Ottawa fan. But I feel like 18 months from now, it's going to be a really good time to be an Ottawa fan. And I feel like they can have a shot to make the playoffs, you know, in round 21, 22, somewhere in that ballpark. And then I hope it's going to be exciting again. Then I think people hopefully will have had a little bit of a break and are willing to come back and get re-engaged in the organization. But we'll have to wait and see.
Ian, one of the reasons you brought up was the surrounding the owner. Now, I know in previous years you've had a really good relationship with Eugene Melnyk. It seems that fairly obvious that things kind of went sour around this time last year. You know, what do you think happened there? Or, you know, in the past, you know, did he ever reach out to you for insider input, or kind of what is your impression of that? What went down?
Yeah, no, you know what? And I do feel like I had a really good relationship, from Eugene, or with Eugene in the past. And, you know, in my opinion, I feel like I had a professional disagreement with him. I don't have any personal issue with him. I don't have any personal beef with him. I have no ill will. I think if I sat down with him now, and man, I don't even know, would he give me 5 minutes of his time? I don't know. But if I did, the one thing I would sit down with him and say, I hope you understand that you and I have the same goal. And that is, I want to see the Ottawa Senators be the most successful franchise in this market. And I think that's where I don't know that he thinks that's what I want. I think he probably thinks that I'm out to, you know, with a pitchfork and a torch to come and take this thing down. That's not the case at all. I've always been a believer. This is what I believe. Okay, this is my philosophy, and this is what I think is really important of the job of journalists. Is I think if you picture a professional sports franchise as like a car on the freeway, okay, if you let that thing drift without being checked, it's going to go way off the road. And I think our job as journalists and as reporters is to act as like guardrails. I'm not here to do anything other than to keep you on the straight and narrow, to keep you honest, and to make sure you don't drift too far off course. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to get on a high horse. I'm not trying to do anything other than, if we do our jobs properly, which is to be able to cover you in an objective, fair, clear manner, with no agenda. I don't think anybody who's ever known me thinks that, man, that guy's got a hidden agenda. I don't. My hidden agenda is to keep this thing on the straight and narrow. My concern is we've gone from being on the road to not only being off the road, but past the ditch and back. Like, I don't know how I want to get this thing back on the road is my point. And I would love to repair the relationship with him. I really would. In fact, I would love to look at that, guys, and say, like, if you're looking for a microcosm for a disconnect between the fans and the team, well, I believe that I could be exhibit A of that. And if I'm able to work through it and he's able to work through it, then maybe we can have a breakthrough and maybe people will, you know, be able to get on board with some things. And so we'll wait and see. And I'm, like I said, as I said this before, I never believe in things being irreparable. I never believe in taking things personally. I really do honestly hope that, you know, health-wise, everything is good for Eugene Melnyk. I never wish him any ill will. I never, if I saw him in the hallway at Canadian Tire Center, I wouldn't run. I'd pick up my hand and shake it, and whether he shakes it or not, it's his call. In the battle here, this guy owns the team, and he owns the arena, and he's got a lot of clout in this marketplace, and there's a degree of leverage that he has that, you know, we have to understand and we have to respect it. And I'd be 100% on board in trying to fix that relationship in a positive way. And you know, we'll see where it goes. They got a new president in there. They got a new guy that, or CEO, I should say, Jim Little. But I think Jim's a real communicator. I think Jim's strengths are being a communicator, being a marketing guy. I think hopefully that we can bury the hatchet, so to speak. But from my perspective, I don't have any ill will towards the man.
Good. Now, last night there was also a ceremony for Black History Month. And you got to speak with Willie O'Ree, the first Black player in the NHL NHL history, which is great. However, in my opinion, the team's celebration of other visible minorities has been limited, I guess is one way to put it. Should the team be focusing on this to be more inclusionary? And as a person of color, and I know that I've discussed some of my systemic racism that I've felt it on previous episodes, and online, on the radio, you've also briefly discussed in regards that you've been targeted, I wouldn't say by systemic racism, but more so by bigotry. From that, what would you like the general public to know on how to deal with certain negative situations?
Yeah, you know, it's a great, you know, here we are in the year 2020, and we're having this conversation. It was really, really enlightening to me. I had Willie O'Ree in studio on Monday of this week, and I actually did an event with Willie last night just before he went to drop the puck. I was honored enough to do a little conversation with him in front of some season ticket holders and some kind of guests of honor. And you know, the thing that struck me is that at one point Willie O'Ree said, "I think that we've taken one step forward and two steps back." And he also said, "You know, I think guys today have it harder than I had it in the 1950s and 60s. And that one was really surprising to me because it's super counterintuitive to think that somebody from 1950 who was busting color lines at a time of segregated hotels and water fountains would say that, you know, the guys today, they might have it worse. And I thought, man, that's an eye-opening statement from an absolute icon in the hockey world in Willie O'Ree. And so, you know, I thought about it a bit. And I thought, you know, if you think about this season in hockey, racism has kind of been dragged to the forefront. Again, hasn't it? Don Cherry made his comments that I think a lot of us construed as, you know, at best ill-informed, at worst, you know, a veiled racist comment. You had Bill Peters and the use of the N-word with Akeem Aliyu come to the forefront. You had, even just a couple of weeks ago, Brandon Manning in the AHL using a slur, a derogatory slur that cost him a 5-game suspension that happened on Martin Luther King Day. Like, these are the types of things you think to yourself, man, like, what are we doing? Are we going in circles? And so this is my belief when it comes to racism in hockey and, you know, racism in general. Like, let's use Bill Peters as an example here. So everybody hears Bill Peters use the N-word, and they want to brand him, and they want to put him out, and they want to put him away and say, you know what? I never want to see from Bill Peters again because I don't believe what that guy believes, and that guy should never work in hockey again. I'm going to take a different approach, and this is the way that I think it should be viewed. I want to work with a guy like Bill Peters. I want to tell him why using that word was wrong. I want to sit down with him. Bill Peters, guys, grew up in Three Hills, Alberta. How many visible minorities do you think Bill Peters ran into in rural Alberta in the 1970s and the 80s? Probably none. And so, this is my belief. While a lot of people think that racism is rooted in hatred, I'm a believer that it's actually rooted in ignorance. And I think that the best way to combat ignorance is education. And so I like the programs that the NHL is trying to do. I'm not a believer that everything is going to be perfect. I don't believe that all of our problems are going to be solved by just, you know, there is hatred in the world. But I feel like the best way to eradicate some of these beliefs is educate people. Educate people why it's hurtful to use the N-word. Educate people why it's important to let people who look different play hockey, and people who have a different you know, whether it's a religious, a sexual orientation, whatever, explain to them why it's important to include them and educate them. And I think we're gonna like where we are. But it's disappointing when Mr. Aree comes out and says, yeah, it's one step forward, two steps back for hockey. But I think we have to do a better job of, instead of when somebody makes a mistake, instead of just putting a scarlet letter on them and sending them off, we need to work with them. We need to work with people that make mistakes, show them where they made a mistake, and then give them a chance to, you know, to redeem themselves. I'm a believer in that, and that's what I'd like to see when it comes to kind of the issue of race in hockey.
Okay, we'll lighten things up a little bit. Do a quick lightning round.
that was my fun answer. What are you talking about? No,
it's a great answer. I just wish we had a bigger listenership to hear it. Quick lightning round, all the UFAs that we could write down, keep, trade, release, and any comments you want to make on each one of them.
Now, is this my opinion of what they should do with them, or what I think is going to happen?
I think what your opinion is.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with your opinion, because it's more important. Jean-Gabriel Pageau.
I love the guy. I would move him if you can get him, with the caveat, if you can get a first-round pick. I want to see that guy go off and, you know, compete for a cup. I feel like Jean-Gabriel Pageau's window to be an effective number three centerman is the next 3 years. My concern is it doesn't line up with where the organization is going to be in terms of when they're going to be a Stanley Cup contender. And if you can get a first-round pick for him and he can go off somewhere and sign, then I say have at it. So I would say move him.
And then keep him July 1st, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Mark Borowiecki.
See, now there's a guy I would keep only because I don't think he's going to, you know, I don't know that he's got more than a year or two left in the National Hockey League. But in that year or two, I think you can pay him to be your number six guy and the 6-7 guy and be a mentor. Somebody needs to be a pro in that room. Somebody needs to be the leader. Somebody needs to be the warrior. And I'm telling you, those guys universally respect Mark Borowiecki. You saw it that game a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, when I guess New Jersey blocks a couple of shots, or Buffalo, sorry, blocks a couple of shots, puts in an empty netter. Like, this guy sacrifices everything. You need somebody to set the tone. So I'd like to see him come back for one more year, sign him at about the same amount that you paid him this year, and let this guy... let him be a leader. Let him be a spokesperson. Let him be your community guy. And I would absolutely positively bring him back.
Dylan DeMello.
See, now there's a guy I'd keep. And I feel like he's young enough with a cap hit. And he plays, the key to all of this to me, the Dylan DeMello guy, is he plays the right side. I feel like even the Borowiecki thing, where you could talk me out of it is if you're saying that next year you want Branstrom on the left side, Melanin's ready to go in Shabbat. Boom, boom, boom. That's 1, 2, 3. And Lajoie is even in the mix to a lesser extent. But you could talk me into, hey, there's no room for Borowiecki, but there's a serious issue on the right side until Jacob Bernard Docker gets to town. And that's going to be at least 18 to 24 months away. I'd like to see DeMello signed if they could. I don't know what the reasonable price is, if it's $3 million a year for 3 years or whatever it is. I feel like he can stabilize things when you don't have a ton on the right side, so I would say keep him.
Ron Hainsey.
I'd let him go. I don't know, again, where he sits in for beyond this year. I think he's been a really good mentor. I think he talked to the players. They'll jokingly refer to him as Uncle Ron. But, hey, listen, I don't know how you'd be able to do this because he's making $3.5 million, so I think you'd have to keep some salary. If you can get a middle-round pick for a guy that essentially was a rental, then I would say go ahead and flip him out. I don't know that in the month of March you need to be playing Ron Hainsey as much as you were in October. So I'd like to see some of the kids come up and play on the back end. So yeah, I'd be okay if he flipped him out.
And finishing up on the blue line, Tyler Golubov.
Oof, boy, Golubov. Golubov is one of those guys that I would just keep him only because you're going to need that seventh guy, right? And I don't think you'd pay Ron Hainsey $3.5 million to be the seventh guy. So generally I don't have a problem with him. I think you're probably going to need a body here on the back end at some point. So I'd hang on. You're not going to get anything back for him other than another similar AHL style player.
But you wouldn't extend him, right?
No. I don't see a particular, because I think you have so much in terms of defensemen coming up here.
Tyler Ennis.
This one's tricky to me because I'd like to see him come back. I really like Tyler Ennis. I feel like he's your perfect third line guy that in a pinch can play up in your top six. Like, and he moves his feet all the time. And I like the guy. He's a workhorse. He's a good pro. You got him at a cheap price. I guess I would say this. If you could convince Tyler Ennis to come back for another year at that same price, under $1 million, I do that every day of the week. Now, if you go to Tyler Ennis, he's like, yeah, I'll come back at $2 million. Well, it's a different conversation, but I would absolutely positively have him come back at another year at around that same price.
Yeah. I also don't see hit what you could trade for him this year be much different than what you could trade for him next year.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Okay. Continuing with the forwards, Vlad Namestnikov.
Oh, man, I'm really torn on this one, too, because I feel like he can fit in. He's young, and he's just young enough where he can fit in, but it's also he's trending into that late 20s zone where I'm like, okay, I'll bring him back on the condition it's a one-year deal or a two-year deal. I don't want to get into a, hey, we've signed Vlad Namestnikov 4x4, and then, 18 months from now, you're like, man, well, we got 2 more years of Vlad Namestnikov, and he's going to be 31, and, I don't know. He's just right on that cusp for me that I don't know about a long-term deal. If you can get him for another year or two, again, as you kind of use people as a placeholders waiting for the Logan Browns and Josh Norris's and Formanton and those guys to be ready. He's been a really nice fit. And that's the cusp been a really nice fit. And I know he got banged up this week, but he's the type of guy that I think has been a really good pro. And he can right now he can play in this team's top six. But ideally, when everyone's ready to go, he's not in your top six.
Well, if we move him out of the top six, he can still continue to score empty or score shorthanded goals on the penalty kill. So that would be worth it.
Yeah.
Scott Sabre.
I don't know. Like, I don't see him coming to play in the NHL full time when this team is ready to hopefully take a step up next year. But he's one of those classic, really good pros. And you do need a couple of good pros, like I was talking about earlier with Borowiecki. I don't know where he fits in if you want to put all of these other guys. Like, Nick Paul is the guy to me that next season, I want to see Nick Paul come back. I want to see them sign Nick Paul as an RFA. And I'd like to see Nick Paul. In an ideal world, Nick Paul's in your fourth line, and he's giving you 9, 10, 11 minutes a night, and I think I'd like to see him in that role rather than Scotty Zabrin.
Fair enough. The big topic of today, of course, would be the next name on my list, which is Craig Anderson.
I was really, really torn. When you hear Craig say, my heart and soul is with this fan base, he loves it here. Like, he's never even, off the record, on the record, told me that, I'm out of here. You tell me I am. Listen, he's been through a lot in this market. He's seen the whole thing come apart. I think he's earned the right to call his shot. If that guy wants to stay here in the month of March because he's just like, I don't want to uproot anything. I just want to stay here. He's earned that right. Now, I also think you're not really going to get much for him. Like, I want a mid-round pick. So it's not like Anderson's going to leave you with any sort of legacy gift that, oh, wow, look, we got a high-end prospect or a high-end pick. So I'm okay. I'm honestly okay with either scenario, either he plays it out or they trade him. I just don't see any scenario where they sign him for next year. So I would say let him do whatever he wants to do to finish up the season.
And last on the list is Mikhail Bodker.
Yeah, I think that one is unfortunately fairly obvious. And you want to talk about a pro's pro. That guy hasn't complained one time. He's been benched. He's been kind of ostracized, but he's never once complained. He's always had a smile on his face. So you just have to let him go. I don't know that he'll even be in the NHL next season, even if somebody offered him league minimum. I don't know if he's going to be in the NHL next season. So I'd have to say take a pass on him.
The last name on my list is actually a player who's not playing at the moment, which is Clark MacArthur. So have you heard from him or spoken to him lately, or do you know how well he's doing?
I don't, other than, I mean, he's come to town the odd time because he kind of does a little work with the development staff. I know he's based out of Florida. I mean, the good news is I think Clark is in a good place mentally, a good place in his mind in terms of coming to grips with the retirement. He knows he'll never play again. He knows it'll never be a possibility to play again. And I think he's lucky he got out when he did, because I think if he came back and suffered another concussion, boy, we might be going down a darker road. But I think it's ended, you know, fairly well for Clark MacArthur.
That's good to hear. Two quick questions to finish up. The first question would be, do you send Duclair to arbitration over the summer, or do you try and sign him before that?
I think you try and sign him, but I think you use that leverage. I think, you know, anytime you go to salary, you know, you go to cap friendly and you see the little hammer next to the guy, you got to use that. You got to use that. I'm okay with it. I think you try to get him signed to a reasonable deal, 2-3 years, whatever that dollar is. You can't get it. You do what you did with Mike Hoffman, which is take him to arbitration, make him do it again, and then you can sign him to another deal. So I got no problem if they take him to arbitration, but I would like to see them try to sign him first.
And last question, looking far into the future, long after the trade deadline, with the way that just with the prospects and assets that this team has now, who do you think might be going to Seattle in 2 years?
Ooh, boy, that's a great question. Man, I'd have to look, speaking of Cap Friendly, I'd have to go to Cap Friendly and see who would be, boy, that's a great question. I mean, you know what? Now, I've thought about this on, like, a guy like Mike Riley. Is that why they picked him up? Is that they can expose, he's got another year left on his deal? Like, I don't know.
It's only three defensemen, though, right? So you got Shabbat, Brandstrom, and...
But Brandstrom, they wouldn't have to protect, right?
In all no, likelihood, no, they would, because he's already a pro this year, so he'll have 2 full years as a pro.
Yeah. So, boy, I don't know. Yeah, that's a really, really good question that's completely caught me off guard.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. And again, I don't know. Is there the rule you can do the 4-4, the 7-3, and I
yeah, exact same as Vegas.
I mean, they might given the defenseman that they have, they might do the 4-4. Maybe Zaitsev is the guy that gets exposed. If I had to guess, like I guess at this stage of the game, if you're asked to ask me who's the most likely skater that they might expose, my answer would be him. Would be Nikita Zaitsev.
That's what I'm thinking too. Now I've got one last question. At the start of the season, I ended up winning your prize for the home opener in regards to the best bold prediction.
Yeah.
And I assume you remember that one?
No pressure.
No?
I got to refresh my
memory. This was right at the beginning of, like, even before the season started, where I said that the Sharks would miss the playoffs draft first and second overall.
Yes.
So since I'm a telepath, what do I get if it actually happens?
If that scenario plays itself out?
Yeah.
And it's 1-2. Oh, well,
yeah. I'm do I get another prize?
Oh. No, I'm taking you for dinner.
Beauty. I gave you guys a whole year of content. So.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. Yeah, I think that's all we had. Thanks so much for joining us once again, Ian.
Yeah, and guys, my pleasure. I appreciate you guys, all the support you give me, whether it's online or listening to the station or reading the stuff I put out at TSN. So it's always my pleasure to return the favor.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much.
Good night, Ian.
All right, okay. Bye for now.
Yeah. Have a great night, guys.
Thanks again, Ian. It was always good to have him come by for his analysis and his thoughts. And he's very generous with his time, which we appreciate. Ovi. We've been talking about Ovi already. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, since he's now passed?
He's just amazing.
Lemieux, Yzerman, and Messier all in a period of, what, 2 weeks?
Like 14 goals in seven games or something. Yeah. And 34 years old.
Two hat tricks.
He's no Gretzky.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, he might be.
He just might be. One little stat which you might not know. I caught this the other day. How many goalies has he scored? How many NHL goalies has he scored against?
All of them?
Give me a number.
69.
No.
127.
Oh, no, I know. There's like, there's, no, 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 because you got
241.
I'd it's, say 320.
No, it's 140.
Oh.
And number 140 is Marcus Hochberg.
Yay! We gotta be in there.
There'll be another one or two after well, that. Well, it's just
like,
sure.
Like he might pass Messier tonight. It's like he's playing the Sens. Milestone, it's in the books.
I need that dab. Give him the milestone. I need that dab on my bingo card. I think I got that dab on my bingo
actually,
card.
Actually, I heard a stat on goals scored. Do you know who leads the league in defensemen for goals scored?
It's Boro, isn't it?
Mark Borowiecki.
It's incredible. He has 8 goals. Previous to the season, he had 8 career goals.
He has 7.
7 so far, now.
Yeah, which is more than, there's a number of people who they were listing.
Doughty, Carlson, I think Burns. Actually, Burns probably passed him now, but.
Oops, it's
ridiculous.
Yes, Doughty with 6, Oliver Ekman-Larsson with 6, PK Subban with 6, Mark Giordano with 5, Seth Jones and Eric Carlson both with 5, and Boros at 7.
This is bizarro world.
Now, this was from a couple of days ago, so it may have changed since then.
Yeah,
sure.
Drew Doughty, he doesn't get the flack that Carlson gets. Eh? He's on a worse team.
Yeah, but it was his time.
He was due.
I had no time for Drew Doughty. I just don't. I just
ridiculous.
Don't care. quick around the league stuff. We won't dwell on most of the stuff too long. Backus was waived by Boston the other day, or last week, I guess it was.
Was he?
Yes. He cleared waivers. He was not sent to Providence. He's been told, hang tight.
So he's got a trade coming.
Don't know. They've waived him. He's cleared waivers. Hang on. 1 year at $4.5 million left after this year.
Oh, God.
Do we need it for the cap floor next year?
First in Pageau. Yeah, yeah, we do. He's a good vet, too. And they need this.
Why do you hate it when I just come up with interesting thoughts?
It's freaking brilliant. What is Boston?
Excuse me.
Because I know Carolina has also been poking around Boston.
What would you get Backus for that?
Contract back. And he didn't. Next year.
He didn't.
Yeah. Oh, I think he got it. Oh. I think he ignored
no,
it.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
747.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of depth, but I don't think they care right now.
Dunno.
I don't think they care. They're missing their fourth this year, and that's it.
Well, it's a thought.
I'd take a second. That, Backus. Isn't he a Ford?
Yes. He's waived, though, so he may be listed.
Oh, he's in a buried.
He's buried because he's waived. He's not technically on the roster.
His back is against the wall.
He has an 8-team no trade.
Can't say.
Well, guess what team number one is.
You have an 8-team no trade, so you have a choice. You can either waive that list or you can sit.
I will sit.
Okay. Have a nice day. No, it depends.
I forgot to ask Ian about that. I should have asked him about that anonymous, was it agent poll?
Right.
It was just. Oh,
yeah.
Like number one on the team is Ottawa.
Of
it's like in Winnipeg's like in the Canadian teams, it's like, well, there's taxes and weather, but that's not what it is about Ottawa.
I was going to say, not just the weather up here, unfortunately, it's the whole state of the team and ownership and everything else.
Yeah. And then of that'll course change. Yesterday on, or yesterday, or today, every day is blending in right now, but they ended up having like Craig Anderson and Dylan DeMello on the radio. It's like, no, like we really like the community here. It's a great place. It's like, yep. That doesn't answer the main problem.
No.
So again,
whatevs.
C-suite executives, pohos, free agents.
Poho?
President of hockey operation.
Okay.
Everyone said no to the job interview.
Right. Sounds like some sort of weird sandwich.
No, it's about taxes.
Yeah.
Taxes in the cold.
Sounds like a neighborhood in Manhattan area. Poho.
The rumor is that the expansion team in Seattle will be called the Kraken.
Yeah. I like it.
I think there's a lot they can do with it.
Kraken? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to seem more dated than Mighty Ducks in 10 years.
No.
No, come on. It's a port town and they love their port.
It's a fishing town, yes, but the Kraken is a very trendy concept at the moment. So.
It's a great rum.
It is a surprisingly good spice rum. It was
trendy 20 years ago.
Toronto Raptors.
Oh, I agree. Raptors. I agree.
I think they were close to changing their name, too.
Yeah,
they,
and I like
and
it
And then
still.
The team got good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't gone into Birds of Prey and away from dinosaurs, to be honest.
Who's that?
The Raptors.
No, now it's a marketing...
But they managed to get away from the purple dinosaur into the sort of claw marks on a basketball.
And they've brought it back.
Clever Lego.
And they've brought back the purple as a throwback jersey.
Yeah, but it's not their main logo.
Correct.
It's not their main logo.
That new logo is smart.
It's very clever.
It's very smart.
I'm not totally sold on Seattle Kraken, but it could be worse.
Hashtag we the West.
Yeah. I like it.
I love Seattle Freeze as an option because that's actually a term that they
freeze?
Use. Seattle Freeze.
Yeah, that's what police officers say, you know.
Yeah.
No, so the Seattle...
Put your hands up in the air. Put your hands up.
So the big... it's what they call for their society and culture. It's called the Seattle Freeze because no one is open and welcome to new people.
Oh.
So obviously, like, there's a lot of tech people and other people that move into Seattle right now.
They could call
and they're not welcomed by anyone, so very much like Ottawa, where people are just kind of closed off and reserved.
I like Kraken
so it's difficult to make friends.
For a reason that's a little weird. I like it because it's not a plural. It's like Utah Jazz, Tampa Bay Lightning. It's not a
Minnesota
plural.
Wild.
Minnesota Wild. It's I like that.
Rather Toronto just, Maple Leaf.
Yeah. Maple Leaf.
But no, they can do so much.
They probably can. I really hope
like
they
you
do
have
better
a boat
than
with the Kraken on it as your logo.
Seattle Rain.
Seattle overcast. Partially cloudy. Yeah, there you go. Before we get to Canucks law on long-term deals, which I'm very curious about because you just gave me that as a talking point and I have no idea what it means. Before we get to that, leading up to the All-Star game, the NHL was doing a whole series of the decades. You know, goal of the decade, this of the, blah, blah, blah. Their game of the decade is the one that really caught my eye, and I can't believe we let this one go by when they announced it, so I had to bring it back. Their game of the decade comes from the 2013 Eastern Conference playoffs.
It was 4-1.
And we did not rehearse that. That's their game of the decade.
Where were you on that day during that moment?
Where was I?
I was at...
I know where you were. You were at the Three Brewers,
is
right?
It three, yeah, yeah, on Sparks.
Yeah. I was just I was watching the game and they get up to 4-1. I was so mad. I went upstairs and I started like just shaving and brushing my teeth and doing something productive because I was just, you know, just mad. I was like, damn it, because the Sens just lost.
Get close to a blade, man.
Exactly.
Blade close to the jugular. All right, I'm done.
And then
I remember you kept, that. You were texting me.
I was so
and
pissed.
You're like, they're going to win the cup now. It's like, this is an easy bath.
I know. And then you started texting me back, like, turn it on! Turn it on! And I started looking like, holy crap. It's 4-2. Yeah, well, whatever. It's 4-3. Holy crap! I think I get down in time to see it tied.
It was amazing.
Yeah, so that's their game of game of the decade.
I went and I saw, and I watched that game with my buddy who is a Leafs fan.
And how'd that go?
And then...
Just like all the videos you see on YouTube?
Pretty much. It's like, that's a closing door. It's like, they're a young team. And they'll come back next year. And
shut
the
up.
Next game, the next game 7 with Boston, I was like, hey, we got to go and watch this game. He's like, okay, cool. He's like, I think we went to the same place. Because this is three times now that they lost to Boston in game 7, right?
Yeah.
I think
so. Yeah. So I think we went back. I'm like, no, you got to sit here. I'm going to sit here. All right.
Change the karma?
No.
Oh. Keep
exact
the car.
Same spots.
Oh, okay.
And it happened again. I'm like, you know, I want to come here. That's where we were last. I was like, fuck. And then last year, it's just like we went to the Darcy's, which is now Pub 260 or Blasley 260 or something like that in Orleans. Mm-hmm. I don't know how our Darcy's closes, but I was like, okay, well, we'll just go here. Okay, but you got to sit on my right. Fine, whatever. Same thing happened. Same thing. You know, you have to sit on my right. No!
Oh.
I love my superstitions. And now the Leafs are just going to squeak right into the one of the wild spots. And wild card spots and play Boston.
It'll be Boston or Tampa.
It'll be Boston. You know it's going to be Boston.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. That'd be absolutely brilliant. Oh,
just beautiful. And overall, I would want to see Florida get in just for the health of the league.
Huh?
You would or would not?
I would.
Okay.
So that if they can start to get a fan base again. Oh. Same thing with Arizona.
All right. Whatever. Sorry. It's getting a little late. Canucks long-term deals. This should be good.
Well, it was just a point to remind myself. We've noticed salaries for players grow every single year, right?
Correct.
What was, a big contract a couple of years ago is not even close to what a big contract is now. So I've kind of come up with a very unofficial law that says for every year of salary of a superstar is probably the inflation, I guess you could call it. It's about 900K or so. Now, I've done no research on this, but this is my theory. So here's where I'm going with this.
Okay.
So I want you to rewind yourself back to the Erik Karlsson when he was in his prime and we were wondering if we're going to sign it. It's like 8 years for $10 million. That's way too much. Or yeah, I'm going to use 11. 8 years for $11 million. That's too much because those last 4 years, like he's just not going to be good then. And okay, well, using my law, and I'm going to round it up to a million just to make it easy. The last 4 years of his contract would be $7 million equivalent, $6 million, $5 million, $4 million. Because every year, that $11 million is like a million less because of inflation. Mm-hmm. I think we can handle that.
You should.
Right.
Previously, the inflation rate was 5%, because that was the level that the union could force in.
Right.
So, 100%. And it's even better when that $4 million, $5 million, $6 million is paid by the insurance company, so who cares?
Yeah. But everyone's like, no, that's too long. Because like, in the last couple years of his contract.
Who cares about the last couple years? Win now, and then you can deal with it. The problem with the Sharks, though, and I don't know if we've talked about this on the show.
I believe we have, but keep going.
Oh, have we?
Keep going.
Okay. Is the Karlsson contract the tail end of it? Yeah, we did. The tail end of it is horrible. Brent Burns is horrible. Vlasic is horrible. But so you can deal with one of these contracts. And the problem with the Sharks is they have a total aggregate of all of these.
They have a bunch of them like that. Yeah.
Nothing to do.
And then Erik Karlsson got injured again and his qualities dropped again. But
yeah.
But they
went really far last year. They went to the semifinals. People forget that. This is going to happen to a team where the average age is like 32.
They are getting
which old. Which is still older than Erik Karlsson.
For now, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He'll catch up to the average age soon.
Depending, because everybody else is way older than him.
Well, they have to get rid of
Logan Couture is 32.
What the hell? 30. Logan Couture is 30.
Is he? Okay, yeah. Well, he's still older than Karlsson.
Yep.
Which is just mind baffling. And I guess I'm turning 40. So
well, I can remember him being drafted by the. I can remember Logan Couture being drafted by the 67s.
Yeah.
Because he was drafted. He was going to be first overall, if I remember correctly. And I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. He was drafted first overall. Or he was going to be the first overall draft pick until the Oshawa Generals asked to get a special exemption to draft a 15-year-old.
It was Tavares.
Tavares.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Logan Couture fell to second, and Ottawa said, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We have one email to read. Would you like me to read it since I have it?
Yeah.
We've left it this late because it really doesn't have anything to do with hockey, but I like it, so I want to read it. This is from At That Hockey Lass. Hey, guys. Hope you're all doing well, and congrats on getting Bruce on the podcast. I know this question isn't Sens-related, but what I want to ask is, why does the LRT suck so much? This is not rhetorical. I see on my Twitter feed that so many people are furious and always complain about it, and I'm still not sure why. When did the issue start? What has happened since? As someone visiting Ottawa in less than 2 months, I'd like to have a heads up so I know whether or not to avoid the LRT like the plague. Also thought this would be a good opportunity for you all to rant. Thanks.
And how long is she coming?
She's coming in 2 months.
2 months, weather should be better.
Yeah, a lot of the problems that are going on right now are a combination of...
Well, the trains are garbage.
Weather and maintenance is the biggest problem.
Do you need to maintain something after 4 months and you'd have to take half of them off?
Yeah, because they weren't maintaining them
so
properly.
So it's not, is it maintenance or is it defective?
The biggest problem with that's come up with them is, well, it's partly weather related.
Is that the wheels are not round?
That's actually a smaller problem. No, the biggest problem is the connectivity issue with the pantograph because they weren't cleaning them properly.
The wheels on the train go bump, bump, bump.
So they weren't cleaning them properly, which means the pantograph that goes up to connect to the wire wasn't connecting properly.
What a disaster.
Yeah. Well, you see, this is what happens. This is what happens when you go with the lowest bidder.
You go cheap, yeah.
You go with the lowest bidder, you get the lowest bidder's quality. That's the way the world works. So they went with the lowest bidder with an untried train that's never been used before. We didn't have any winter testing last year because it wasn't ready. We were supposed to take delivery of this last March and it wasn't ready. And we took eventually delivery of it in September. But they didn't do any...
They just forced it.
They didn't do any winter testing on it, so they would have like one or two trains out.
Also failed the summer testing.
Yeah, it failed the summer testing. Never mind the winter. Summer is easy around here. Winter, big surprise. We have trouble with that. Dun, dun, dun. What a concept.
All our open concept train stops for the winter.
Open switches in a snowstorm. Electric trains.
Just put a hat on the switch.
Yeah. No, they had hats on the switches. That was the problem. They need better heaters for them to keep the snow off. And there is it's basically a small jet engine. It blows hot air on the switch.
It's just incredible. And just like, they exist. Well, it's like we need to reboot the train. We need the internet for that. But it's underground, so we don't have internet. Like,
sure, there's five bars of connectivity throughout the entire tunnel underground.
Yeah, but I didn't pay for the data plan. I didn't pay for the data plan.
You didn't pay for the... with TELUS for the free Wi-Fi and all the stations.
I don't understand. It's just...
New system. If you go to Vegas or someplace warm like that and you see the outdoor escalators and you think, well, that would never work back in Ottawa.
You're right.
That's kind of what they did.
Well,
the dumbest thing I've ever done is Hollywood Hills. I'm like, this has got to be hell in winter. It's like...
There is no such thing. The problem with the computers is not the computers. There's one problem with the computers controlling the trains. The bigger problem is
the trains themselves.
Well, sorry, let me rephrase that. It's not the computers running the train. It's the computer controlling the trains. It's the control system that's having the issues, not just borks out. It's not the one that's on the train, right? Bork, whatever.
Love it. It's the accurate term.
It just completely flips
Swedish
out.
Swedish chef images so, right now.
That's amazing.
You've never heard that one before? Yeah.
So honestly, and I've taken it off peak. If you're going off peak, like not it's rush beautiful. Hour, it's amazing.
Yeah, I've taken it a couple of times. It runs very well.
Like I just got lazy. I had to go from Parliament Station to Rito?
That's one. Like, that's one station.
Crap. It's like, yeah, it's like 20 seconds. I'm like, oh, I got to get off.
It is very quick.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. That turns up maybe a 12, 15 minute walk into 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm. It will improve. The problem was it was delivered too soon. Well, it was 455 days late, but it was not tested enough. That was the problem. It was a forced delivery. The delivery
poorly
testing.
Designed. No, that's poor design. Again, to what you stated, cheapest price.
Well, we should never have been using a train that's never been used before, number one.
Yeah.
Never. That's asking for... Well, let's go with an untested model of something.
Hey, we did it with the Presto card.
Yeah. And how did that work out? Yeah. So
it's easier to... not anymore, but it was easier to drive down to Toronto... Load it up there and drive back because it would load faster.
It's actually really easy to use the machines in the LRT stations. Like literally put your card in, put a $20 bill in or use your debit
card.
They've
had those in Toronto for 15 years.
Great. It only took them, what, 5-6 years to sort that out?
Well, I was using one probably 2 years ago down at Greenboro because I was taking the old O-Train, now the Trillium line, because they've had one of those machines down there for quite some time. And it's... easy and quick and straightforward. So hopefully by the time you're here, some of this will be at least somewhat fixed.
But a huge...
Well, they brought in the British.
They brought in the British, and well, they brought in a firm that is familiar with fixing rail commuter rail issues. So hopefully... hopefully they're going to kick some Rideau maintenance group or whatever they're called. Rideau Transit Maintenance.
Yeah.
Into actually
they opened
doing
up a separate company so that I can go bankrupt with
so that they can. Well, I mean, there was been people saying how much would it cost to get out of the contract with RTM, which is it's the RTG is the people who made it and they've transformed it RTM because they have a 30-year maintenance contract. So how do we get out of it? Legally, can we say you're not doing it properly? This thing doesn't work. It never has worked. Can we get out of the contract and give it to somebody else? People. Well, not give it, but you know, award it.
Or return the trains with a warranty.
Well, then we have to start all over again with trains, but hard to say.
Worth it.
Might be.
It would really be worth it.
Might be. But there we go. So hopefully by the time we get here, it's in better shape. Week to come? We don't know when we're coming back because we didn't talk about that. Okay. Oh, well, grinds your gears. We'll do that after the week to come.
Okay.
Week to come.
Yeah. Week to come.
Oh.
We'll do that.
When are we coming back?
I don't know. Okay. Just say a bunch of games. There we go.
A bunch of games.
Games will be played. We'll be back after them. Next question.
Yeah.
It's not December.
Is it not?
No. Oh, geez.
February.
Wow.
Not yet.
Avalanche at Sens. Good luck tomorrow, boys. Yikes.
That's the DIFD game.
That's
the DIFD game.
That's right. So DIFD there. Then Jets. Then Colorado again. We go into Colorado.
When we're on the road, okay.
Then Arizona. Then Toronto.
I know it's 15.
I hope the loser points are going to be done because I don't see us getting one in these five games.
Good.
Dallas, so. Buffalo, Winnipeg, Montreal. We might get something. Jeez. Yeah, this month is going to be hell.
15 games in 28 days.
Blue Jackets, Nashville, Vancouver, and then Detroit to end the month.
After the trade deadline.
Yeah. You just give the goalies the night off.
So we'll have a lot. Some of these games we'll cover when we come back next. We didn't talk about it before we started because we had too much getting organized with Ian. So we'll have to talk about that afterwards. Okay.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Uncooked cookies.
They grind your gears or
is
just
that what
upset,
you're gonna blame it on?
Upset your stomach.
It had to be. Because the whole time I threw up for a day, that's all I could taste.
It wasn't the sub, it was the cookies.
I'm sure it was the cookies.
Not bad mayonnaise or bad lettuce or something like that.
Because you would taste that, wouldn't you?
No.
For the whole time?
No. You'll taste
now,
whatever you come
as up. As a diabetic, probably shouldn't be having the cookies.
Yeah. I like cookies.
Well, I like cookies too. That's why I am the way that I am.
What grinds your gears,
Kenny? Well, I got one I wrote down. I'm not sure how to articulate it, but...
mother-in-law! No, yeah. I'm kidding. She is wonderful.
I think it makes me old. I think it makes me old and white or something, but whatever. It came to mind.
Black people!
People caught up in the news on the coronavirus. I'm not.
Who think that it's about Corona beer?
Oh, that's hilarious. That is hilarious.
People are so dumb.
Well, it's Lyme disease. They're related.
Yeah, I love that. And the Corona Twitter account that's putting out stuff, it's hilarious.
Sorry.
I'm not saying this towards anyone who has a weakened immune system and has to do this, or people that are legitimately sick, but traveling through airports and seeing people who don't normally wear masks wearing masks, and they're just doing it because of the hype in the news, and you know, I think they're protecting themselves, but there's been articles out about, you know, how these masks are not going to protect you from the coronavirus. And let alone I'm watching them and they're constantly putting it down on their chin because they're not used to wearing a mask and it's bothersome. And they go to buy A&W or something and they're eating and like, you got to take it off for security, airport security. They're not going to let you go through customs or airport security wearing a friggin' gas mask or something like that. So what are you doing? Just if you're that nervous, stay at home.
Yeah, good rant.
Good rant. Mine isn't nearly that good, unfortunately.
Mine are giving me hell. It's like you gotta go buy masks. They're on their way back now. They land in Vancouver. They're waiting for their flight to get. Actually, they're probably Vancouver to Calgary.
Where were they?
They're in China. They wintered in China.
Oh my goodness.
It's been a disaster.
I just booked a flight or checked in for a flight, and that's the number one question they ask you.
Have you been to China last 20? Yeah.
Yep. And they probably won't let you on.
Okay. Because you're in Guangzhou, which is about an hour and a half by bus from Hong Kong.
Okay. So that's a long way.
Now, this was a week ago that it's like, okay, let's book our flights back. So their flight path was Ottawa, Beijing, Beijing, Newark, Newark, Ottawa.
Yep.
This was last week around this time. Over the weekend, this was to leave on Monday, I believe. Over the weekend, Trump put in, which makes sense, no one to enter the U.S. from China.
Yep.
Unless you're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
So they contacted the consulate, the U.S. embassy, the airline. It's like, how does this impact us?
Well, Air Canada canceled their flights to China, too.
At this point, yeah. To China.
Yep.
Because they didn't want to bring anyone back out there. So, and they're nowhere near the hotspot, by the way. So after that, so it's like everyone said, like, no news or anything like that. So they flew from where they are to Beijing, went to go board to Newark, and they got blocked.
Because they're not a U.S. citizen.
Because they're not U.S. citizens. So I think the rules has changed like that day. I don't think they asked the right questions at the airport, but that's fine. So they went back to their apartment in Guangzhou. So 5-hour flight to Beijing and then back. Mm. So we got, or they figured out, my sister probably did it, but they got a new flight path out of Hong Kong. So you just get to Hong Kong. The border that they were going through was still open.
I was going to say, that one's closing now, too. They're lucky they got out.
Yeah. Yeah. So to Hong Kong, then Hong Kong, Vancouver, Vancouver, Calgary, 13-hour layover, Calgary, Ottawa.
Oh.
Bruce helped me out with hotels to figure out what to do. Wow. I don't know if they took it. So they took the bus to Hong Kong, and then they got there, and then Hong Kong said, anyone coming in from China, 14 days quarantine.
Oof. So they got in
and they just missed that.
That's what's happening now in Vancouver?
No, that's happening in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong. Okay.
So, and they passed all the health tests to fly to Vancouver. Again, Canadian citizens, so there's nothing you can do about it, but they're clear.
Yeah.
So it's they'll be here tomorrow, like tomorrow at 10:30. They left today, but got to Hong Kong 2 days ago or something like that.
It sounds like my parents' trip home in the middle of the massive snowstorm about 10 years ago in early March.
Yeah, yeah.
150 centimeters of snow. Well, they had a similar, they left Barbados at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They arrived in Ottawa at 5:30 the next day.
Fun.
Yeah, but this is like over 2-3 days. It's a 32-hour flight path.
Oh, I know.
And that doesn't include the trip to layovers. Hong Kong and the 10 hours that they waited to go to Beijing and back.
No, but my parents were also in their late 70s at the time.
Yeah, they're early 70s now. So it's... Yikes.
Well, I'm glad to hear they're on their way.
It's been stressful and it's just... They're on their way.
That's what matters.
It is what it is. Because otherwise it'd just be like, you got to wait it out.
Yeah, that'll go well.
Yeah.
What grinds my gears is actually an ad on the radio. There's a big surprise. Again, it's just...
Oh, we just had Ian on.
It's
executive dealership?
It's not
showroom?
It's not an executive showroom, and it's not the car lots by the CTC Center. No, we've already done those two. This is actually for the Heart and Stroke Heart and Stroke Lottery early draw or early bird draw, which gives you $50,000 cash to spend any way you want to. Okay. As opposed to?
A gift card?
$50,000 cash that I... No, cash.
I know.
$50,000 cash with a restriction as to where I can use it?
Maybe it's Canadian Tire cash.
It's cash. It's $50,000. Of course I can spend it anywhere I want to. It's not a $50,000 gift card. It's cash. They're making it sound like a big deal. It's cash and you can spend it anywhere you want.
I think at this point it's more of a tag.
Come on.
I will spend it on my mortgage. And yeah. See you in 2025.
Thank you. All right. Anything else? We done? We're finished? We've done
the
everything.
The computer fan's grating my ears.
Yeah. It is loud. I'm hoping everybody else can't hear that. So you assured us that they won't.
They won't care.
Okay, good.
Don't worry.
We thump on the table and we pop our peas and
Open beers and that sort of thing. Right on.
Rock band, Mike.
We'll be back.
At some point
before the trade deadline, we think.
I would assume, yeah.
On behalf of Panic Canuck, I'm Cardinal. Thank you all very much for listening. Good night.
Good night.
Hi, this is Bobby Ryan, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.